Welcome to Connecting Africa, a podcast series from Africa Tech Festival, where we'll be chatting to some of Africa's top thought leaders and startups about the hot topics in tech across the continent and beyond. I'm Paula, the editor of Connecting Africa, coming to you from Durban, South Africa, and helping me to make sense of it all are my two co-hosts from different parts of the continent.
Hi, my name is Toby, co-founder of Venture for Africa, recording this from Accra, Ghana.
And I'm Matepo, the associate editor of Connecting Africa, and I'm based in Johannesburg, South Africa.
All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Connecting Africa podcast. Today, we have Michael Oluwole with us. Michael is an experienced co-founder and has a history of working in financial information technology and services industry. And Michael is the co-founder of Touch and Pay. Founded in 2019, Touch and Pay is digitizing and processing microtransactions in Africa across various channels while driving financial inclusion in the process. So TAP currently serves the transportation sector and has grown to over 2 million users with about 300,000 active daily, registered with approximately 100 buses and ferry operators in Lagos, Kano, Ogun, and Oyo states. So Michael, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much, Toby. I think we need to update those numbers. So right now we are more or less approaching 4 million users with about 500,000 active daily.
Okay, news of the day. That's awesome.
That's a great start.
Absolutely. Well, please go ahead.
I think you need to tell your comms team they need to update what they send people if you guys have doubled.
Absolutely.
No, that's great to hear. I'll just jump in here. I guess we always want to know in the beginning of the podcast, you know, what's the origin story? How did you guys come up with this idea? Why did you think it was, you know, something that was important and how it seems like it's growing pretty well since 2019, but yeah, just tell us a bit about the journey.
So pretty much, again, the name of the company is called Touch and Pay, and what we are focused on is digitizing and processing microtransactions in Africa. And the example we pretty much use is if you're trying to buy a car, buy a house, pay for tuition, nobody carries huge stacks of cash around to complete those transactions anyway in Africa anymore. We tend to say our big brothers have solved those problems or those challenges, the banks and the likes of. So there are electronic ways to complete those transactions. However, if you're trying to get a cup of coffee, try to get on the transportation, pay for groceries, in most parts of Africa today, it's completely or largely cash-based transactions. And if we are looking at financial inclusion or achieving a credit-based society, if 70% of the transactions conducted in the continent, which are these microtransactions, are completely cash-based or they don't have any digital footprint, there's no way for us to even come close to achieving financial inclusion. So we have made it our mission to digitize these transactions. Transportation is our initial focus. We have about four characteristics that allows us to understand or to target several sectors. So transportation is one of the ones that have kicked in. And the factors essentially include the volume of the transaction, meaning a lot of people are trying to make these payments. The frequency of the transaction, meaning this same volume of people are making this payment repeatedly. Most examples should be every day or every week.
Yeah.
The value is usually mid to low value. And of course, the medium or the channel is manual or cash-based. Once we take out these four criteria of these four characteristics and we plug it to different sectors, it begins to pop up. Transportation immediately lights up. Merchant payments lights up. Revenue collection also lights up in some part of Africa. So we started with transportation.
Yeah.
And we're also expanding.
Okay, very interesting. So obviously you're targeting this big unbanked population in Nigeria, right? How do you kind of entice them to stop using cash and to rather use your services?
So the funny thing is that we're not just targeting the unbanked population. It's both banked and unbanked population. It's not a problem united most with the unbanked. And I'll give you an example to collaborate that. Today, if you get into Lagos, you and I are both banked customers, right? We have a bank account and the like. However, if you're going to take any before existence, if you were to take any sort of public sector transport, you would have to go back to the ATM to withdraw cash.
Yeah.
Meaning even you as a bank customer still need to deal with cash. And problem has been there's nobody taking care of those kind of merchants or that ecosystem. And that's where we come in. So the problem expands not just to bank customers. It goes beyond just the banks. It's a societal problem. And what we've done or we've realized is it's also habits, right?
Yeah.
How do we bring these people into the different fold? So people have been comfortable with cash. The habits is cash. That's the norm. How do we change that habit? And we could have done it in two ways. One of two ways. One, spend big marketing budgets and try to convince people. We're a startup. I don't think we had so much fun at that point. The second is going through the merchants, right? And through the regulators to convince them to accept this and show them enough value such that they compel their users to receive payments through these means. And that was what we did, considering that we're a startup and the likes. And the story goes thus. In 2019, we started with one bus company. This bus company had 30 buses. In less than 6 months of working with them, with no contracts, we had to take the risk. They had grown their fleet to 50 buses.
Wow, okay.
And as I speak to you, they have well over 400 buses within their fleet. And this is literally from digitizing their operations. They're accepting a system for merchant, their customers to pay through the system. We're able to help them with data. They now know where to push their buses,
yeah.
The peak period, the off-peak period. So also able to help them with financing. So for the first time, unlike before, where they used to get all their payments with cash, now they have a data bank where they can show financial partners or financial institutions and get adequate funding. So it has changed the whole mindset of getting access to financing. Before, they were just thrown into the general pool where they have to do equity contribution, mortgage, or whatever it is to get funding. But now they have a new system because their data can speak to them. As I speak to you, these bosses get gas on credit. So they don't need in the morning to look for money to always pay the gas stations. Now, from that same data, they're able to manage their cash flows. Talk about the operational expansion or expenses rather. So just by digitizing these operations, it has helped them tremendously. And on the flip side, for the customers, it's also huge. So as a customer, if you use our system for minimum six to eight weeks, we have enough data to allow you even ride on credit. And you can imagine how this is very, very important to the bottom of the pyramid. These are people that make their daily revenues in cash. So imagine going out in the morning and you don't have enough to travel, but you have a card that can allow you to run your card into negative, small overdraft. And before the end of the day, you're able to pay back. The card now becomes a very, very important instrument to you. So people literally keep it very, very seriously. And as I speak to you, just like I mentioned, we have over 3.7 million users and counting, with about 500,000 of them active daily. And what we've seen is the impact beyond processing this transaction is becoming immense. So we literally started off by processing their transactions. However, the impact is becoming very, very, very crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing because it shows the true potential of fintech. You know, one simple solution, one idea, then can, you know, change the whole ecosystem in a way and bring all these other options there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Matepo, did you have a question?
Yes. Michael, you say that you have, it's also beneficial to the user. Can I ask you to like simplify? So a person gets a card.
Yeah.
And do they load then cash into the card? And then is it specifically to those buses that are registered to you that they can use the card, or how does it work?
Oh, so basically, we have, just like I mentioned, we have two types of users. The end users, which are the commuters, and the merchants themselves. And this space, just like Paula mentioned also, you would have two sectors where you have the unbanked and banked customers. And when we set out, we created the two channels, both the card and a mobile app. The card can be picked up at any mom and pop shop. You can fund it with cash at the same mom and pop shop. I can just approach the bus station or the train station and tap to pay. The mobile app, you don't need to approach anybody from the comfort of your home. Download the mobile app, fund it from your bank account. You generate a QR, you scan to pay. Pretty much straightforward. However, if you recollect, I said we're trying to change habits. And you see people gravitate towards something that is close to what they were used to before.
Yeah.
And we're quick to realize that while those two channels were provided to commuters, they gravitated towards the card, which was very similar to the cash exchanging hands that they had before. And of course, we did our research and understood that they were very comfortable with it. It's fast, they tap it, it moves very quickly. The learning curve was pretty much straightforward for them. And they didn't have to bring out a phone and the likes. We saw that today we install devices on every bus. When you get on the bus, you see a device, you tap on the device and it deducts the amount. Some smaller buses will give them handheld devices so that the driver is able to manage the transaction for 7-seater buses. Just give them handheld devices and the driver is able to manage the transaction. So pretty much that's the transaction flow process essentially.
Yeah. So I was just interested, you were talking about obviously like cash or bank accounts. Is there a mobile money option that it sort of factors into, like MTN mobile money or one of those, or is that something in the future?
Actually, that's already in the works. We're in partnership. I would prefer not to say with who.
Okay, fair enough.
But yes, we're about to see that in the next couple of weeks. We're about to announce that. So yes, one of the things that we've been doing in terms of our expansion beyond Nigeria is actually partnering with the mobile money operators. Pretty much we understand that, for instance, in East Africa, mobile money is very much big. We've done our research. We've been there a couple of times. However, just like you have in West Africa, it's still cash-based in terms of payment for transportation, for instance. If you're trying to get on the bus, there's no way you would try to do a USSD to make a mobile money payment to get on the bus. So mobile money has not caught on in that sector also. So we've already looked at that as an opportunity where we can have actually create a strategy with mobile money operators. We've started with a couple of them where we can link our wallet together and people can just, from their mobile money wallet, they can just tap their card or scan their mobile app and complete the payments. Yes.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, that does make sense. Why would you stand at the bus terminal? Like, you don't have data, you don't have USSD.
Absolutely.
Oh, fair enough.
Absolutely.
Toby, I'm sure you had a question.
I was just curious, obviously, when it comes to the tap and pay technology or touch and pay, well, tap and pay technology from touch and pay. It's in markets like the UK, obviously, I think, you know, it's something that I guess was driven by industry regulation or by government regulation. And so if you go into the UK, almost everywhere you go, there's that, you know, tap and pay or touch to pay mindset. But then you go to a developed market like the US and it's not as ubiquitous over there. And so my question is really around, like, you know, what has made this? I know you addressed something earlier around the buses that you started with and how that growth really spurred the growth of the company. But just curious, in terms of like changing behaviors that you mentioned earlier, where was there a thing of timing that people became a lot more comfortable with the technology, or it became easier to even convince that first bus partner to do? I know COVID played some part in the UK, making it even more widespread than it is. But just curious, you know, because sometimes, you know, you build the theories, you have your assumptions, you build the technology, but timing is key. But so wondering how much of that factor was that for you guys?
So yes, I think I would also attribute some of our success to also timing. Again, like I said, we started in 2019, and just after we started with that bus company, they literally were on the crisp of expansion, and COVID struck, right? And that put us in the limelight with the regulator, especially in Lagos, for instance, where the regulator transportation was literally what shut down the entire economy. No movement of people. So literally transportation was shut down. And to open up the economy, they wanted contact tracing. They wanted this to make sure that people are not exchanging cash. So more or less encouraging contactless payments. And we were the only indigenous company that had any form of solution We're set up for almost a 3 weeks pilot where, of course, because we had done something with a bus operating company, it was pretty much straightforward to complete a pilot and show them and pretty much ride the wave of the bidding process. So COVID played a huge part. Literally, well, I like to say this, that we're one of the companies that helped the Lagos State Government open up the economy, because we were able to provide them with data enough for contact tracing and enough confidence to allow people on the public sector transport. Timing was pretty much very much a part of it. However, one of the major things, like I always mention again, is the culture and the habits. And pretty much regardless of the technology that you're bringing on board, if it doesn't address the customer, if it doesn't solve what the customer needs, it might just become any other fancy technology and people use it for a couple of days and probably drop it. Today, just like you mentioned, the UK markets, the US markets pretty much grew in a different way, but they've been able to also process microtransactions with cards. They might not be using the direct technology of plastic. And just like Paula mentioned, in West Africa, for instance, we are still very much comfortable with cash and people can go to mom and pop shop. But in East Africa today, they have mobile money, which is also a different technology. But being able to solve that problem, which is that communication between the customer and the merchant, which is, for instance, the transportation sector, is still very much broken. And we just taking the use of contactless as our own channel. The learning curve is pretty much simple. In the US, they use magnetic stripe. So it's pretty much close if you look at it in the real sense of it. What we need to understand is that both parties, US or UK, have just found ways to bridge that gap between the commuter and the merchant, which is what is pretty much necessary. In our own case, we've just used contactless. And that has skyrocketed us to a point where I think I know for sure in West Africa, we're the largest processor of contactless transactions. I'm not sure in Africa, in terms of the volumes that we deal with every day.
Interesting. And maybe a final question around maybe the technicalities or around it in a sort of way. So obviously Nigeria is a heavy card market, right? So which influences the fact that, you know, we can obviously start with the contactless technology. Now, I imagine you might be looking to expand. And so once you're looking at other markets that maybe aren't as card focused or card driven as Nigeria is, how does that change, first of all, your name, Touch and Pay, in terms of how you then eventually go ahead to put together a solution for a market where cards are not primary? Or, you know, what are your thoughts around that?
So, again, I'll tell you the truth. What influences our expansion is literally the customers, right? And the need. It's less on the technology. Technology just addresses whatever opportunity that presents itself to us. And I'll give you a very clear example. Today, there are two opportunities for growth for us, vertically and horizontally. Vertically, in the sense of transportation, within Nigeria, as I speak to you, we've expanded beyond Lagos. We've expanded into about six other states that are very much populous, and they've seen what we've done in Lagos. You mentioned Ogun State, or your states, Anambra. Have early conversations. There's early conversations that those states were present in Kano states. I mean, to mention a few. And this is literally in transportation. This same model can be taken to almost every part of Africa. This exact same model. We're in early conversation with East Africa and East Africa. We're also in early conversation with Ghana, as I speak to you. So this is just literally in transportation. Again, in Nigeria, there's now the horizontal expansion. What I mean by that is, in transportation, we now have associated transactions very similar to transportation. So today, yes, I have a card, I've loaded it, I use it for bus payments. My commuters are already asking me, where else can I use my card? So I can speak to you, at the bus terminals, you can literally get a cup of coffee, snack, drink, literally with the same card. So you have vending machines, soon to be vending machines. You have stores already that are accepting our card as a means of payment, meaning we're transiting beyond transportation into merchant payment and acceptance. And we've seen that very, 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 grow very, very rapidly because digitizing that experience is key for people. And one of the things that is driving our adoption into that space is the fact that providing that credit history for these commuters. And if you look at a commuter today, or if you are a commuter today and you have our card and you've used our card for 6 to 8 weeks, meaning you now qualify or pre-qualify to ride the bus by a certain margin, right? How much more if you want to get a cup of coffee or you want to buy groceries, I can also extend that credit to you. You now begin to imagine how valuable you will keep that card. No other system extends that value to people today, except you literally want to go and get a cash loan from any platform. No platform has been able to create that ecosystem within the country where I have a card that can allow me to ride on the bus on credit, more like an overdraft. I can use it to cut my hair, get groceries, just basic transactions. And anytime I'm done, I can also pay back. And the reason is they studied my history and they understand how I'm growing. So our growth and expansion is pretty much focused on those two fronts. We've been able to understand transportation, which is more or less our anchor transaction where we started from. So we're literally using that to drive our expansion. However, we're beginning to see the effect of these transactions and transportation, creating an ecosystem for associated transactions, just like merchant payments. Data is pretty much huge, helping us to understand the commuter engagement. At the same time, helping the merchants also. So for the first time, merchants that have always received payments in cash now have their transactions digital. So able to show financial partners that, oh, this guy makes this much money, before it was in cash, that's why you didn't even see him. But now I can show you his data. You see how much money he's making. And from that, you can also provide financial services towards him, loan or credit facilities. Today, as I speak to you, we have well over 4,000 buses within our ecosystem. All the buses in Lagos today pretty much get credits on their gas purchase. So they don't need to take cash or pay the gas attendants at the gas station every morning. No, they're able to get the gases. And before 12 o'clock, they're able to pay back the amount of money they've got in gas that day. So we've been able to help them with that cash flow based on data. It's very much easy to provide that data to the gas company and say, this boss will make his money before 12 o'clock. Let him get gas on credit. So yes, pretty much expansion for us is commuter or customer driven. Just like I mentioned, we are very much attentive to the fact that transportation has opened up doors for us. And it's more like an anchor transaction. We're very much attentive to that. We're also very much attentive to the results of what transportation is giving us, which is associated transaction. From merchant and merchant payments, also to data.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I'll pause here because I had like two follow-up questions, but I think what is coming up here is, you know, although when I read about the company and talked about the company just even in the intro, although it did say microtransactions, financial inclusion, my brain still anchored on the transportation bit. but just listening to you talk now, you know, I can actually see what you mean by microtransactions being powering other kind of financial services where, you know, it's all about the little breadcrumbs that you're able to gather and your day-to-day, you know, flow and what that can then potentially give you access to. So in a way, it's like thinking about how people use credit cards in other markets, obviously for more expensive transactions, and just that flow of transactions and repaying your credit gives you access to more credit. Our environment isn't necessarily very credit friendly or credit educated. And so microtransactions is sort of like a way to approach that. Interesting. I'll pause here, but very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. I was going to say something similar just in terms of, obviously, you could use your credit card for these things to pay for your drink, your coffee, whatever. But the problem with a lot of people is that those card payments, that they charge you a big fee or they don't let you charge something small, right, on a credit card. So you guys kind of are bridging that gap. I think that digital microtransactions things is very interesting because I think that's a lot of how people pay in Africa, right? So maybe just beyond, so you've got transportation, then there's kind of a retail element to it. You're talking a bit about loans. What other sectors do you think this would work in where people use, you know, these kind of small amounts to pay?
So pretty much a lot of sectors have jumped out to us, closed loop sectors, university payment, revenue collections and likes. But we're very, very much careful. Just like Toby said, transportation is a very, very key transaction in the ecosystem. It cuts across different kind of users, different sector of users, and allows us to expand fast. And it's a very teething problem in the entire ecosystem. So Yes, transportation, and we've also gained a lot of experience from just working with transport companies and deploying to transportation sector. So it's not a sector that we're looking at dropping. So what I would probably say to us, say as in terms of our expansion, is we take transportation first, and we look at what the results of transportation that it gives us, or what transportation gives us as a result. So yes, transportation is pretty much still very much high on the list in terms of expansion. Just like you also mentioned, Paula, the market that we're looking at, retail is very much on the crisp of it. But the way we're approaching it is pretty much different. We're looking at expansion and through collaborations also. One of the things that I probably want to mention is when we started, literally nobody believed that microtransactions could be digitized. So we had to be the acquirer, we had to be the issuer, we issued cards, also we issued devices. We did a lot of heavy lifting. Right now, we're looking at expanding and we're looking at partnership. And we've started those conversations where, imagine my card can also work on POS terminals, existing POS terminals, right? Most of the existing POS terminals, so they have contactless capabilities, but little to no utilization, right? But people already have my cards. Just like you also mentioned, a lot of people in this sector might not necessarily carry a bank card. A lot of them are still underbanked or underserved. So this is also bringing them into the fold. So people that literally have their transactions in cash or have most of their revenue in cash are now moving their revenue to a more like a wallet, similar to what you had in East Africa. What we're now trying to do is to expand the option of making these people receive payments or allowing these people to make payments. So this is pretty much what mobile money has done in East Africa. So we are saying, transportation sector has not allowed revenue to be collected digitally. We have a solution that can allow us for that. I will link it up. So pretty much that's where we sit right now. Retail, again, is pretty much on very much high on the list. And very, very close to retail is the data part. How can we use this information to help these people grow their business? How can we use the information to help this end user, this customer, have a better life? And again, from my perspective, or from our perspective as a company, we saw a very, very heavy impact of what we've just done in a very little way in terms of financing for the end user. An average customer or an average artisan that just commutes to his work every day, giving him a very, very small microcredit of about $1 or $2 a day. And before 28 to 48 hours, able to clear that debt is very, very impactful. Meaning he doesn't need to part ways with that $1 for transportation, which he always would have needed to do. Now he can actually ride on credit, use that for other things, and before the end of the day, he clears that credit. He now holds that your card or that your solution in very high esteem. He holds a special place in his wallet. So it's not something that he would definitely want to joke with. And if you can extend that value beyond transportation to him for food, for groceries, for basic utilities, yeah, it becomes very, very essential to his daily lifestyle. And that's where we are looking at. So again, transportation is very much high up there. Retail, just like you mentioned, is very much there. And have helping these commuters and the merchants with data.
Very interesting. Matepo, I think you had a question.
Yes, I do. When you talk about expansion, you're including retail, and then you're including offering credit facilities and stuff like that. So then how do you then navigate the regulatory framework so that the end user is protected and everybody gets a fair share, if you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So I think first things first, we're very, very respectful of the regulators. And that's one of the major things that we've also done in the past. I'll take Nigeria as an example. We always engage the regulator from the get-go. One of the things that we've, this solution that we've started, literally we're almost the pioneers in West Africa, to be precise. And it created a kind of new environment or new ecosystem for the regulator where we had to show them how we do what we do and make sure that we operate within the confines of their rules and regulations. And we're able to do that extensively. In terms of data protection with the customers, I think we're doing very, very well. We don't expose unnecessary data to the end user, so to third parties or people that don't need access to them. So we take care of such conversations pretty much very, very seriously. So we have very good relationship with regulators essentially anytime. Then most of the expansion is also due through third parties. So we're not trying to also do the heavy lifting ourselves. So we work with regulated partners. So today, in terms of the funding or financing, pretty much we always start with the pilot ourselves. But in terms of moving forward, we engage third parties. So I am more or less going to be like that platform that allows to aggregate data to know that this person is in good standing, has a proper credit score. And I can also open up in terms of partnerships. Okay, yes, I have X users and they want to, they would, who need access to financing on loan. And if I have a financing partner, I'm pretty much partner up with them.
Okay, that actually leads me nicely into the double-headed question that I had, which is sort of like around licensing and then partnerships on the other side, right? So in Nigeria, obviously, I know the financial regulation is a bit advanced in terms of the different options it gives you. So I'm curious, you know, what is Touch and Pay registered as in or licensed as is the question I have, because obviously depending on your level, there's some things you can and cannot do. And I know now you've mentioned partnerships, obviously, but I know every fintech is trying to expand their ecosystem as much as possible. And so you might start off with a partner, but eventually you're trying to get in that direction. So a couple of questions baked in there, but just curious, you know, what your licensing situation is like, and then partnerships as well.
You know, the funny thing, Toby, the interesting thing is that we found for a long period we found ourselves in limbo. Limbo in the sense that we weren't sure where we sat down with the existing regulations, because at some point we're closed loop, we're following the rules of closed loop. At some point we didn't integrations with existing banks, complete transactions and process of the transactions. So that's acquired a PSSP license. And at some point, we were issuing out devices in the closed loop, which is still fine. Now we want to start issuing out transactions or devices that might do both closed loop and open loop transactions.
Yeah.
And we have to acquire a PSSP license. So what I would say is, what has guided us is literally the problem solving, the problem we are solving, and where we are at that level of problem. And as a startup, we had to be creative. I wouldn't say we set out initially just acquiring license, no. What we initially set out to do was partner with existing license holders so that we are covered and we're working within the regulatory framework to allow us define or properly solution this product to the users. Once that has been established, we now create a relationship with the licensing partner, and we actually acquired some of the licenses. Today, we have a PSSP license. We're in the process of getting a PTSP license, but we work today with existing license providers to allow us to operate within this framework. Like I mentioned, what really guides us is the solution that we're providing to the users.
Toby would usually be the one to ask about funding, but I'm going to steal his question today. So I'm just interested for you guys, when you started out, were you self-funded? Have you had funding come in? How difficult was that? Because you are, like you were saying, you're quite a unique play in the fintech market, sort of, you know, with one leg in transportation. And then, yeah, what kind of impact has funding had on the business?
Yes, we are funded, and funding has played a huge part in our ecosystem. So when we started initially, we started off pretty much as self-funding. We bootstrapped the entire thing. But one of our investors asked us one question, said, do you want to be rich or do you want to be king? We could be a king. I mean, there was no wrong answer to that question. We could be a king in a small market, or do we want to expand and make sure that the solution has a huge impact to people? And that's literally where the option we took. So we raised a seed round about 3.2 million in 2022, around April.
Is that dollars?
We're YC backed. Yes, yes. We're YC backed. This was during during the YC batch, 2022, I think it's winter 2022, yes. Pretty much what we were, one of the things that allows, that takes up a lot of CapEx costs for us was the devices, having to provide or procure devices to the, for the merchants and install on some of the buses. However, moving forward, initially what we had to do was to show that we could process microtransactions. So we did a lot of the heavy lifting, providing the device for the merchants and providing or issuing the cards to the commuters on maybe the mobile app. But moving forward now, a lot of people are seeing the potential, so it's easier to strike partnerships now. Very much straightforward. So now one of the things that we're now doing is to link our card to make sure it's working on existing POS terminals. Most of these POS terminals, they have contactless capabilities, but it's not in use in most cases. But we are bringing most of those conversations to life. We've partnered with a lot of PTSPs today. And so those conversations will begin to kick in Q1 next year. We begin to see people use the same card for transportation, beyond transportation to do groceries, shopping, or retail transactions. Yeah. And we are now focused on providing this benefit or this value chain across board.
Okay, very interesting. Toby, I think you had another question.
Yes, I was just curious around the conversations with the partners, right? So, you know, you come to me, I have a license, and but you have every intention of moving on to your own license after. So what's still the incentive for me to partner with you initially? So I'm wondering what your pitch is to them.
Okay, so it's usually a symbiotic relationship. So the partners that we deal with are not partnership just for the license. It's a partnership that outlasts the license. And I was just giving Paula an example. So today, we partner with PTSPs, for instance, to allow us to make sure that our cards can work on their terminals. So imagine you have a terminal with existing merchants, right? Most of those terminals have contactless capabilities, but most of the those contactless capabilities might not yet be in use. How can we bring in our users to make sure that they use it on your own ecosystem also? So we have a lot of people. We have over 3.5 million people with card-carrying customers already asking us, where else can I use my card beyond transportation, right? Can I also extend those services to your existing POS terminal so that they can also tap to pay? And if your terminal is already at a restaurant or at a retail outlet, it closes the ecosystem, right? And bringing in the ability to make sure that these people can also shop on credits and also other values increases transactions. And we're creating an ecosystem where our focus, which is the mission, is we're digitizing these microtransactions. Whatever technologies that we need to incorporate with it would work together.
Okay. And maybe my final question, and I will shut it now, I promise, is so when you look at your company and you look at the staff strength and in terms of the sort of like distribution of where, who's on what team, are you more, is there more on the technology side or more on the operation side?
Honestly speaking, it's sinusoidal. And I'll say why. And the reason is because most of the time you're dealing with, you're providing a solution that is new to the market. And I'll explain how. So I'll use the transportation sector as an example. Contactless payments, right, is not new in the developed ecosystem in developed countries. However, the people that use contactless in those ecosystems are the mass market, the general public, right? Now, your target audience is also the general public. And they are not the people that have traveled to developed countries to even know how it works. So you're introducing a relatively new solution to the mass market that, and I kid you not, it looks like they are seeing the solution for the first time and they are looking at it like, what exactly is it? We've had scenarios where people think the card, why tapping the card into is using electricity than to shock them. We've had people pry up the card thinking that there's a battery in there somewhere. These are educated people. It's new technology to them. So in that scenario, we had to make sure that we work with contract-based staff to make sure that the operations is smooth. So the technology was not a problem. it's the interaction with the commuters or the end users to make sure this is a solution that they are comfortable with, something that addresses their basic needs and they are used to it. So in that regard, when we deployed initially, we had the top end of operations, making sure that people were able to attend to people, make sure that the merchants are not losing transactions, meaning that people are tapping and getting on the bus very swiftly and very fast. Now, very swiftly, it changed also because people now get comfortable and they want more features and they want to be able to do more. So now you now have to improve on the technology also to make sure that they accommodate for different things. So we've always had that sinusoidal position of both technology and operations. But I'll say to it that, yes, we're purely a technology company. So yes, it's technology first. Operations goes up and down, but we're technology first.
Awesome.
I have like a final question. And I think you sort of answered it, but I'd like to have more, some more.
Please go ahead.
Where do you see yourselves in 5 years? Are you a king or are you a rich?
Okay. I think we already sold our soul to the want to be rich question already. If I could say that. And the reason I mentioned that is we're quick to understand that, yes, this solution has a huge potential. And it's we'll be doing Africa a disservice to keep it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Rather, to make sure we expand and solve this problem across Africa. Today, over 250 million Africans still perform cash-based transactions every day. This simply means that even if those people are spending $1 every day, it means that $250 million exchanges hands every day in Africa. And this is just, these numbers are pretty much conservative. You can imagine if it's $5 every day, it's meaning that almost $1 billion exchange hands in cash transactions every day. And these transactions have no digital footprint. So if you're looking at a society where we want to create credit facility, we want to create a better solution for merchants to receive payments. If we don't solve this problem on a large scale, we're just the king in one corner, right? And partnership is playing a huge role, as I speak to you. We've been able to establish partnerships, not just in Nigeria, beyond Nigeria. And in 5 years, one of the positions that we're trying to, we have narrowed to two possibilities as I speak to you. One, we're probably going to be aligned so much with the banks because there's a very, very symbiotic relationship because we get a lot of customers that are not even banked and they have their money on our wallets. So it's probably going to be a very close relationship with them, if not that we're a bank ourselves. it's an option that we've all opened the gates up to. And the second option is we're working very closely with the card schemes. Visa, Master, and Verve. And we understand that this is a very, very important market for them also because they are also a channel to process some of these transactions. And in a short while, we've been able to allow our customers use this instrument to process transactions, which is pretty much the same instrument that's been used in the developed world, developed ecosystem. So there's a very, very overlap. There's a huge overlap in that ecosystem for them also. So these two doors are pretty much open. We're pretty much tackling it quarter by quarter to see how much or where we gravitate towards or where the market gravitates towards and seeing the partnerships that we're able to strike. But as I speak to you, we are leveraging on partnerships. We've made sure that, or making sure that we're able to provide a solution across board, solving this problem for all Africans.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect place to leave it then. Thanks so much, Michael. It's been great chatting. Very interesting hearing about the solution and just how the broader ecosystem is embracing it. So we hope we'll catch up again in the future to see if you guys have doubled your numbers again.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate talking to you today.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can find all the episodes from season 1 and 2 on your favorite podcast platforms. We'll have more episodes coming up this season, so subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the interviews with startup founders, investors, and interesting personalities in the tech and telecoms industry. If you want to find out the latest news about Africa's tech ecosystem, go to connectingafrica.com.